This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. The Scripture on Creation radio program is also available on our website and as a free podcast, so you can listen anytime. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, or if you would like to know more about his radio and conference ministry, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we are always encouraging our listeners to write in with their comments and questions. And in today's program, you're going to respond to a person who did just that.
Yeah, Scott, I received a letter from a longtime listener, Tommy Taylor, from Florence, South Carolina.
Tommy Taylor. That name does sound familiar. Didn't you even do some Scripture on Creation meetings with him?
That I did. It was 3 years ago now. Tommy organized a series of evening meetings with some of the churches in Florence, South Carolina, and with several classes of public school students during the day. We had a really good time. And one of the things that still stands out in my mind is the live radio interview he arranged for me to do on a popular local radio show. We were mainly getting information out and promoting the meetings, but the host and I got into a conversation, and right there on live radio, the Lord opened the door for me to share my testimony and the gospel. It was really neat.
Well, yeah. Was this recorded?
Well, yes. In fact, I'm pretty sure we played it on our radio program back after it happened.
You know, I have to admit, I only vaguely remember it, but I'd like to hear it again. And that could be something some of our listeners might be interested in hearing, too. Maybe we should go back into the archives and re-air it somehow.
Well, Scott, that's a good idea. And you saying re-air it somehow brings up another point. I want to let everyone know that there are, once again, several ways to listen to the Scripture on Creation radio broadcast. It took some time, but finally, the new redesigned website is online. And after being down for almost 2 months, a lapse I am truly sorry about, the radio programs are available as podcasts once again. Now, to get the podcast, you'll have to resubscribe, but it's for free through iTunes or Google Play, or you can just go to the website and subscribe there by clicking on the radio tab and then the podcast tab. Or if you don't listen to podcasts, you can simply listen to archive programs on the radio page of the website.
So, with all those options, how are we going to make that interview you mentioned available?
Well, we'll definitely put it on the website and podcast, and we'll see about maybe rebroadcasting it on the air in a future program, okay?
Okay, that sounds good enough. So, getting back to Tommy Taylor's letter, Dr. Scripture, if you're going to respond to it, we'd better read it, don't you think?
That would be very useful, Scott. Would you like to read it for us?
I sure would. He says, "Your program on Isaiah 49 and 50 was great today. Our Lord is in focus there, and especially in Philippians, too. I'm teaching on Psalm 148 this Sunday. All of creation is challenged to praise the Lord. But verse 6 raises a question. It says, quote, "He has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away," unquote. What about the new heavens and earth? In Isaiah 65:17 and 66:22, the prophet clearly speaks of new heavens and a new earth. Also, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 37, spoke of his return in the context of great changes in the heavens and earth. Peter describes the roar on the day of the Lord when, quote, "The heavens and elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up," unquote. That's in 2 Peter 3:10. And in Revelation 21:1, John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Scripture is not contradictory, but it is difficult to explain Psalm 148:6. Please share your thoughts.
Okay, so first I want to thank Tommy for his letter, both the encouraging words at the beginning and his excellent question. And I agree with him that that statement in Psalm 148, verse 6, is difficult to explain when comparing it to the other verses he referred to. And in fact, Psalm 148, 6 is not the only reference in the Bible which indicates the heavens and the earth were established forever by God. So, when we compare those statements with the ones which speak of the destruction of the heavens and the earth, it does lead to the question, how can both be true? Are the heavens and the earth established forever or not? It's a question I've actually asked myself before. So, to address his question, let's read part of Psalm 148 so we have a good sense of what the psalmist has in mind, and then I'll discuss it along with some other passages. Psalm 148, 1 through 6 says, "Praise the Lord." By the way, how's your Hebrew, Scott? What's the Hebrew behind those words?
Hallelujah.
Exactly. Hallelujah. This psalm begins and ends with hallelujah. So again, verse 1, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts.
Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created." And then we come to verse 6. "He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree that will not pass away." The psalmist then goes on in the rest of Psalm 148 to list everything on the earth, from sea monsters in the deep to the snow on the mountains, from fruit trees and birds to all the beasts and creeping things, and lastly, all the people. So the description of creation in this psalm is all-inclusive, we might say. It describes the entirety of what God created, which is distinct from Himself. And here's another passage with a similar theme. It's Psalm 104. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with splendor and majesty, covering Thyself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain." And then verse 4, "He makes the winds His messengers, flaming fire His ministers," which, by the way, we know is a reference to angels.
Yes.
And then verse 5 says, quote, "He established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever," unquote. And then, just like in Psalm 148, the rest of Psalm 104 goes on to describe the earth and much of what it contains. So, as we said, are the heavens and the earth established forever or not? And the conclusion I came to was, sometimes the writer has the current, or as the Apostle John puts it, the first heaven and earth in mind, and sometimes the writer has the entire realm of creation in mind. That is, the material universe, the spiritual realm, all that God spoke into existence, which is outside of Himself. And when referring to all of creation, that is, the totality of it, God reveals that it will go on forever and ever into the future. It had a beginning, unlike the Creator Himself, but it will have no end. But when a writer refers to creation as we now see it, the nature of that creation in the past was changed, and in the future, it will be changed again. It was changed when Adam sinned, and when God caused the great flood, and the Creator will change it again, to the extent that He refers to the change He will cause in the end to result in a new, or second, heaven and earth.
Could it be sort of like a first and second edition of a book? They're the same idea, but changes have been made.
I think that's a good analogy to a point, Scott. But the new edition of creation, as it's described, seems fundamentally different, at least in some ways, from the original. After all, the Bible uses the word destroy to describe what happens to the original creation. In 2 Peter 3:5, for example, it says, "By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." And then concerning what will happen in the future, Second Peter goes on to say in verse 7, "But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Then verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." And then finally, verse 13, "But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So I think the main idea is, as dramatically as the creation may be changed by God, each addition, so to speak, is still the created realm, distinct from the Creator himself, and over which he is transcendent. And he has revealed to us, because we could not know this any other way, he has revealed his creation will be eternal. So although it exists in various forms through the ages, it is eternal going forward.
Dr. Scripture, it's interesting that you point out there is no way we could know this unless God revealed it to us in his word. Because I think of the imagination of man, and it seems to me that people tend to think everything will come to an end eventually. Even some of the modern versions of the Big Bang Theory propose that the whole universe will collapse in on itself, essentially being annihilated, right? In other words, it will cease to exist.
Yes, Scott, and the most crucial part of that annihilation is the created beings which are a part of the universe. But the Bible clearly reveals that the eternal spirits of both angelic beings and human beings are just that, eternal. They will continue in existence forever and ever, not wink out into non-existence, even as some false religions teach. And we would have no way of knowing that if it had not been revealed in God's word. So, to try and summarize a difficult concept, I think sometimes the Bible is emphasizing the changeable nature of creation and warns us not to be deceived like the mockers of 2 Peter chapter 3 who say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." In those contexts, the destruction of the creation or the change of creation as we know it is described. But on the other hand, sometimes the Bible is emphasizing the fact that the created realm, which God established way back at its beginning and described in Genesis 1, will go on forever. And most importantly, the spiritual beings, angelic and human, will exist being part of that creation forever and ever. However, they will be in one of two places, either in glorious fellowship with their Creator or banished from his presence. And that creation that rejoices in the presence of their Creator will be praising him forever and ever. As it says in Psalm 148, verses 11 and following, "Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. And he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord," or that is, hallelujah. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. Scripture on Creation is a listener-supported ministry. Your support through prayer and giving is greatly appreciated. You can learn more about our ministry on the website, scriptureoncreation.org. You can also listen to past episodes of the program, which are archived on the website, or by subscribing to the free podcast.